I think for me, it's just getting that system in place, because it's hard for me and a lot of us. We're people pleasers, and for us, it usually serves us well. But it's really just understanding that you respect capacity, not only for the amount of clients you have. You say yes to everyone, you say no to everyone. Basically, it's easier to think from a personal level. That's why I married the personal and the institutional together, is if you say yes to everyone, you're saying no to everyone. And so the key is remember that. And then a quick no is better than a long no. No one wins in that situation.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super
you.
Welcome back to the Super You Podcast. I'm Jake with Equal Man Studios. In today's episode, we're sharing an interview where Eric sat down with the MWM Design Group to discuss his book, The Focus Project. It's through focus we can achieve our goals, happiness, success, and fulfillment. So thank you for reading The Focus Project and for joining us on yet another episode of the Super You Podcast.
Hindsight, how lucky is that in a digital era? But for 15 years, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of people making fun of my name. Go get the coffee, Equal Man, you're super fast. Oh, we need what's work done over the weekend? Well, you're a superhero, Equal Man, why don't you do it? And so for a long time, I resisted it. And then finally, I just fully stepped into the story, and it's been a great place to live. And the reason we don't step into our stories, our focus, is because it's uncomfortable to step in our story at first, but then long-term, it's the best place we can live.
Well, that's really great. Well, I know I've been talking to people leading up to this. I am super excited to have the author of the book joining us. That's a pretty rare chance for us. Certainly a rare chance for me to be able to read through a book and then ask questions directly, because inevitably I have questions when I'm reading these kinds of books. So I think it's great. I love that you base the book on your actual experience. And it was some in the intro, you debated whether or not that was a good approach. I think it's great. I like having both the theory and the science coupled with the practical examples. I think that's great. But my question for you, the biggest question I have, is the one I'm going to start out with, is how we can get the most out of this experience. And it's kind of a two-part question, right? So the first part, when you talked about your personal experience, you talked about spending 2 hours a day on your one thing for a month. Specifically, you were talking about sales, but I'm curious, that seemed really daunting when I read it. I can't tell if everyone's shaking their heads or not, but I'm sure that must have been like, wait, they told me this wasn't going to take this much time when I signed up. It just seems daunting. What do you think is a reasonable amount of time without being overwhelmed? And then second part related, do you think it makes sense potentially to spend maybe a set amount of time on the new focus? You know, we're doing this month by month, just like your book is laid out, to figure out kind of what habits work for you, but maybe layer them in over the course of the 12 months. So it's not like you're just focusing on one thing and then throwing it away and focusing on something else. So kind of from those kind of perspectives, how do you see us best approaching your book?
Yeah, no, well, first of all, thanks for having me here, and thanks for taking the time, and thanks for reading the book. And Julia, thanks for your leadership, and thanks to everyone here for joining us. And thanks for being one of the leaders in Austin, so, and across the globe. So thank you so much. But yeah, I think that to answer your questions, to break them apart, if I had to redo it, I would have gone more into detail in the 2 hours and said, look, like 3 minutes, like, it might just be 3 minutes for you. But in terms of a reasonable place to start, I think 20 minutes. And what that means is try to do that 20 minutes. You'll see when you get in the book, before the world kind of attacks you, you know, attack the day before the world attacks you. And so it was a project for me. So it was both personal, because I knew I was going to reread the book a lot from my learnings. And so I was almost writing the book for myself and doing the project for myself. So to answer your question, I think a reasonable place to start is 20, but you're okay if it's 3 minutes. That's the whole point of the book, is just, it's not perfection, it's progress. And you're doing this not to make things adding to your plate. It's like, hopefully if you do it well, you're kind of subtracting in time. And it takes time to kind of learn that. And then Julie, your other question, I think, yeah, it makes sense if you want to just do the project how you want to do it, if you do a project at all. But if you do a project, it might be that like, this is the one thing. And then over the years you layer in, over the months you layer in the habits that you start to kind of just become a habit. They ingrain. And again, that takes time. So I think that's a logical approach. If you guys want to do that as a group, that makes sense. But again, do what works for you. And that's what I stress throughout the book is this is what worked for me. This is what didn't. Everyone's different. And so hopefully you're just kind of, we're all living the same movie. We're just different actors and actresses. So my hope is that you're like, oh, okay, I kind of get where he's coming from, why that didn't work for him. It's going to work for me, but I can see why he said that didn't work for him.
That makes a lot of sense. I think you even encourage people to like skip around in the book, you know, make it their own, do it how they want. It's a little different because we're attacking it as a group, but you know, people can go off, do their own thing, and just, you know, we know what we're talking about each month at least. So
yeah, exactly. No, it's great. It'll be fun as a group, I think. So have fun. That's the most important thing. Have fun.
We are a fun group, so we will try. So one thing that I really keyed in on in your intro, I think is where that was, you had some of your top Eureka moments. And one of them in particular, you said, focus on the important, not the immediate. And I totally agree with you, but I also understand that's really difficult in, I mean, really anyone's profession, but for us, we're a service industry. We are in the habit of putting out fires, project deadlines, schedules, client demands, things that are outside of our control. Any suggestions on how to deal with fires when we're trying to focus on the important?
Yeah, no, I mean, and I'll stress this throughout the book, is that we don't live in a vacuum. So you have to deal in reality as well, is that you want to get in time to be fire prevention over firefighting. And again, that takes time to do that. But you've also got to assess in the moment, just pause a little more than you normally would when you run off to kind of solve that issue. As a leader, that might be someone asks you a question, your knee-jerk reaction is to give an answer, where sometimes the best thing you do is ask the question back to that person. So now you have that insight and you actually get the insight for that person before you cloud their vision with what your answer would be. That's just one example. In terms of fire analogy, there's some things, it's like a candle. Hey, I got to put that candle out before I go to bed. And there's other things, it's like, oh my gosh, that wing of the house is on fire. I've got to put that out. So pause and kind of assess what type of fire you're dealing with. And then also understand, are you the person that should be dealing with it? Meaning like, to use an example, I've got 8 and 10-year-old girls. So the candle example is I could go, hey, Sophia, can you please go blow out that candle outside? And maybe the first two times she doesn't do it. And then I've got to kind of teach her to kind of over time, like, hey, can you take that? So those are the couple of things you want to assess is one, just pause first and foremost when that fire's there, and then getting a little deeper in the weeds. So what we do on, and there's a couple of revenue streams that we have here, but one of them is I own an animation studio. And so very service-based. And one thing, and I talk about this in the book, I believe I do, is that we were kind of doing, one of our first clients was, hey, we want to do this. We want to do that. We're like, well, you really don't want to do that for this video because it's going to cause this issue. And they're like, no, we want to do it. And we didn't really push back super hard on it. And then with more learning, we realized that, oh, okay, we've got to get better at that, but also we need to put a system in place. So then we adjusted the system to be, all right, you're allowed one change to the video, which is unheard of kind of in our animation world that we live in, but you get one change. But if you want to buy some more changes up front, here's the cost. If you decide not to buy them up front, it's an additional cost. It's a lot higher price once we get into it. And so it took us some conviction. It costs us some business, but it makes better projects long-term. It actually grew our business because it's a little different than how we do it. And most people didn't want to change. Once there's a cost, it's like, well, they only wanted that change if it was free and it wasn't the best for the project. And so those are some of the things that we just want to kind of think differently sometimes, is that actually the best thing you can tell a client is no, not all the time. I don't want to have you going out there saying no to everybody, but just kind of pausing a little more than doing our knee-jerk reaction, which is to actually start the solution right away.
That's awesome. You actually just answered my next question. I think it's great. And I love that you talked about that example. I do remember that one from the book. And I think is, I can't see everybody on my screen. Jason's on the call. For some reason, Jason, I thought of you when I, when you got to that example. We're depending on which discipline you're in, other clients make more changes than, more or less changes, right? And they definitely impact us. So learning how to kind of navigate that, I think, is really important for us. But you did hit on a really important factor, which is that saying no. And I think somewhere in the book, in your, I think your 99 notes, or 99, what was that? 99 points for a focused life. You said the best productivity tool is the word no. Which is interesting. And it's sort of like that other, you know, the important versus the urgent. I know it's true, but it can be really difficult for folks, especially for our group. I think one of our sort of core tenets is to help each other do our best work, right? And we're a professional services firm. So we're used to saying yes, right? So it can be hard to say no, in a nice way. But I think you gave a couple of examples in the book. So in the book, is there anything else you might suggest for us to incorporate that without being off-putting?
Yeah, I think that, and funny enough, is one of the learnings is that the opposite of a known truth is often also true. Mm-hmm. That if I say the best thing to do is say no, sometimes people could argue the best thing to say is yes. So it's just one of those things. That's why we have emotional intelligence. That's why the world's not yet run completely by robots. So it's important for us to understand that we use that emotional intelligence on a day-to-day basis. But I think for me, it's just getting that system in place, because it's hard for me and a lot of us. We're people pleasers, and for us, it usually serves us well. But it's really just understanding that you respect capacity, not only for the amount of clients you have. You say yes to everyone, you say no to everyone. Basically, it's easier to think from a personal level. That's why I married the personal and the institutional together, is if you say yes to everyone, you're saying no to everyone. And so the key is remember that. And then a quick no is better than a long no. No one wins in that situation. And somebody on the call, you guys might do pipeline sales reports. I mean, weekly check-ins. As a salesperson, that's the worst thing. It's like, I don't know. I think they're on the hook, but if they get a definitive no, it sometimes helps you, because then that salesperson go on to the next opportunity when they get that definitive no. So understand that sometimes that hard no, obviously sugarcoat it, but don't give false promises. Make it as firm as possible, that no, and that'll help everyone a lot of time, not all the time, but a lot of times it helps the other person as well.
That makes a lot of sense. So kind of taking a different direction with the questions. So a few of us have read The One Thing. I'm one of those people and wasn't quite able to get down to one thing. Almost everyone on the call knows I cheat when it comes to this. So I am the master at taking 10 things and making it sound like it's one. but we often do that, right? We often struggle with, either shortening our goals or coming up with the one thing we're going to focus on, or really honing in on that thing that's most important. Any tips on how to do that, or additional things you'd like us to try beyond what's in the book?
Yeah, I know. And I've met Jay a couple of times, super nice guy, and I haven't met Gary, but the book's great. I think in the book, I don't want to put words in Jay's mouth, that he says, like, at a big picture, he actually has like three things. Like I always think around in my head, I have three things. I have family, I have my health, and then I have what I call fun, which is work. It's in there. It's like, fortunately for me and everyone here, hopefully you're making work as fun as possible. But those are like those at a big level, and to keep it from being overwhelming, it's just like that one thing's like in the present moment. So that's why I'm just like in the morning, it's like, what's the one thing I need to do today? And a lot of times it's, what's the one thing I need to do this morning when I get up and everything's handled? And here's that 20 minutes I allocated. That makes it a little more achievable. It's like what we talked about, flossing one tooth in the book, the research out of Stanford, then you're probably going to do more than that, but it's really just keeping it as tight as possible. So what's the one thing I need to do this morning in that 20 minutes? And that makes it a little, knowing that you might have the 10 things over here, but hopefully you cut those down as well, but it's, you kind of hone it in. Like I've got a huge list of stuff that I want to do, but now I know the timetable for some of that stuff might not be till 2023. And I just got to be okay with that. Yeah. It's there. But now I've lived long enough to know that thing is not happening probably for a couple of years.
And if you can kind of keep it isolated on that list and just focus on the one thing you want to get done, whatever in your, I like your 20 minute example, yeah, then maybe you actually have a chance of getting that done rather than just sort of sitting there, you know, trying to vacillate between all those 10 things or 100 on your list or whatever. Awesome. That's really good. So what chapter was your favorite?
And gosh, why? I guess the favorite for me was family. It goes back to, this is the opposite of what the other 11 months were, which are kind of getting those systems for no, as I was going to say yes to my kids, whatever they want. And there's some crazy stuff that happens, as you'll see. I don't want to spoil it, but they're just like, can I have like an ice cream sandwich for breakfast? Yes. You know, that was the extreme. And what it allowed me to see was I was kind of saying no more than I thought, or not right now. I've got to get this thing handled. I'll do it later. And it's like, you know, the Cats in the Cradle song, if you remember that, it's like, mm-hmm, all of a sudden I'm sometimes living that. And so I didn't realize that. So that allowed me to have that kind of aha moment as well. Eureka moment. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. When I can, it's like, yes. And that's why I'm saying no to other things, so I can say yes to the big thing. So getting back to no, the more you say no, you're creating yeses in the future. And so that's the other way that makes it a little easier for us to say no. I always say it should be, if it's not an emphatic yes, it should be an emphatic no. Obviously, this stuff's not all black and white. I have to do my taxes. That's not an emphatic yes, but I have to do them, right? Yeah. But we want to make sure that that's like your 20%. Like 20%, there's just stuff in life we have to do. Like I might not love to floss my teeth, but I know that I kind of have to do it. And so it's really just making sure that's that 20%, but that was probably the most fun, that I had. That was my favorite month.
Which one was your least favorite?
Oh man. I know if I had to rewrite the book, I would change time management to energy management. Oh. Because it's really not like, let's say I got up 2 hours early. I've added 2 hours to my day. So I have now 2 hours additional time. But if I'm not energetic, that might actually be worse than if I got up at my normal time and got 8 hours. Or to put it differently, I know if you gave me 30 hours a day, it would quickly fill up. Like I wouldn't get everything done. You could give me 48 hours. I wouldn't get everything I want done, that I want done on my lists. And so it's really about energy management. So if I had to rewrite that chapter, it'd be energy management. The one I struggle with the most is probably the mindfulness chapter, because, and some of you might be able to relate to this, it's just, especially when I first started doing yoga for sports energy in college, I'm like, eye roll. Like, why am I in here? And it's like, this is power yoga? What? What do you mean you're talking about I have to breathe? What the heck? I want to get a workout in. What am I doing? I just want to fix this injury. And then they're saying, like, go into child's pose. And everyone's like, woo, it's so nice. I'm like, my knee is on fire. I'm going to kill you. And they're like, breathe. I'm like, breathe. This is like the worst position. Just get me out of here. And then your mind, all of a sudden, you do start to breathe and you start to go into that energy and you forget about the pain. And then you go, oh yeah, okay, this makes sense. And then that voice comes back about the knee, it's on fire. I'm going to sue this instructor, whatever it might be. But then in time you get that progress, right? It's not perfection. It's progress. That voice is still there. Now you can identify that voice and go, okay, I want to hear you. I hear you. And then, okay, time to kind of get back to my breath. And so mindfulness was the challenge. It always is. I've gotten better at it because now I can actually meditate on an airplane when we're flying, you know, when we get back to flying. So I don't have to have it be perfect. I've got an hour of quiet because that just never really happens. And so it allows me to kind of be okay with, okay, I'm going to meditate for 5 minutes and it's on the airplane. I can hear the speaker, but that's okay. It's going to pass through. And then just keep breathing through it. So that was probably the most challenging chapter just because of my DNA. And I'm sure some of you can relate to what I just went over.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like your insight on the time management section, since that's the one we're going to be hitting next. We might even, Jenny, we might even think about approaching it a little bit more like energy management and taking your advice there. So if there was one last like imparting piece of advice that you could give to us to help us prioritize reading the book when we have deadlines and commitments, when it makes it difficult for us to make time for this kind of thing that feels like an extra, right? What would that be?
Persist in the short term, patient in the long term. And then strive for progress, not perfection. You guys are all very successful. It's in your DNA. Sometimes I take this, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. It happens around New Year's resolutions. All of a sudden, you just, instead of putting one thing, you're going to, it's just like you put a ton of stuff. So it's why you're like, I'm just going to stop drinking coffee. Where it might be like, I'm just going to drink coffee Monday through Friday. You know, I'm just not going to drink coffee, or I'm just going to drink coffee on the weekend. And so it's really about progress, not perfection. And then share with each other, because respect capacity, whether it's work related, or I always say harmony, because these things are all related, is that you just go, hey, I've got this list of stuff to do. And you can talk to your peer or your leader to like, here's what I identify as a priority. I can only get to these 3 out of 5. Which ones are these are three? And then everyone agrees, yeah, you can't get to those 5. It's not like you're being defeatist, because we live in America, like I can do it all. And so it's just changing that mindset of let's talk. And sometimes there might be disagreement, like, no, I think you can get all 5 done. Here's what you can do to get all 5 done. But a lot of times, like, yeah, you're right. That's crazy. Let's move this to someone else. Or, you know what? Let's just go talk to that client and say, this is what it's going to look like. Here's our game plan. So kind of just being real. Don't isolate yourself. Make sure. And that's why I love you guys are doing it as a group. Like, talk and just say, here, you'll be shocked at how many people are in the same boat. And you're just like, here's what I have to do. Here's my priority. Are we on the same page? And then that helps a ton. So just think progress over perfection.
That's great. I love that. I actually wrote that one down. Progress, not perfection. Maybe that'll be my new motto for the year. Everyone, you heard it first here.
And the well, more you talk to, I mean, I see this from the animation side. An animator will go like, that takes me 5 hours. I'm like, what? That takes you 5 hours? I thought that took you 5 minutes. Don't do that. Like, do not do that. You know, so like over communicate as much as you can.
Yeah, that's great. I think I saw one of your staff hop on. I don't know if that was maybe your signal that we were taking up too much of your time.
This is great. Yeah, no, I'm here and reach out anytime. And hopefully next time can go as long as you want. But I know you guys are busy, but let me know. And hopefully next time we'll be there in person as the world allows. That'd be great.
That would be amazing.
I think that's it. Reach out to me anytime. Mm-hmm. I'm just Equal Man across the board. And thanks for letting me join you here today. What an
actually
honor.
I'm sorry, we have some questions.
Oh yeah,
I missed them.
Fire them up.
You can't go, forget it.
No, I love questions.
You have to stay. The first question is, how do you recommend that we say no to each other? It's one thing with our clients, but how about, you know, with one another?
Yeah, I mean, so one of my go-tos is like, hey, this is a great opportunity, but I can't, it's not for me right now, because I'm trying to get this book published. Fill in the blank, whatever you're going to write. But just be short, succinct. And I give some examples. Seth Godin has one in there, but just like be real, be short, and be succinct. And they get it, because they're in the same boat. And so as long as you don't leave them hanging on, that's the best thing to do, is just be like, hey man, I'd love to help, but I can't right now because X, Y, and Z. Or some people like to say, you don't want to say, I choose not to. You sound like a jerk, but you say, choose not to. But in your mind, like, you're like, in America, you can do anything, right? So it's like, well, right now I've got the focus on this. And doing this as a group is going to help you. Because like, it's like, I'd love to help, but right now my focus is on this. And they might even know what that focus is if it's a company thing. Like, yeah, that is more important than you helping me right now. And so.
Well, and I think you also said something to the effect of that sometimes it's not yours. Like, it's like it might not be your question to answer, for instance. And I think mm-hmm. it's all of our desires to help one another, but you might say, you know, actually, I think this person is the appropriate, you know, can help you with that. And that way you are basically just not saying yes to everyone, but you're not saying no, you're just pointing them in a new place.
Right. No, that's well said.
Well, this isn't.
So,
can I talk?
Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, this isn't actually a question for Eric, but kind of a similar vein of thinking. And I read this, I don't know, a week or two ago, that the word priority originally was a singular word, that it was only later made into a plural, but it should not have been. So when you talk about focus and you talk about priority, you should always have a single priority, which is where you need to focus. And everything else is just a to-do list. what he said reminded me of that when he was talking
about versus priorities.
Yep. Yep. No, you're spot on. It's so true. That's 100% true. I might even be in the book. I can't remember, but I think that might even be in the book that we talked about.
I feel
about
like there. I've read it too. So it may have been from your book.
Yeah, I didn't come up with it. It's something that we saw, I saw out there, but yeah, it's great.
That's a little multitasking, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then I tell you, I catch myself multitasking every day and say, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Like I've known this for 9 years, I catch myself. So this stuff, it's not easy. Focus is really hard, but it can become a habit with time.
Awesome. We have one more question. And then we have to let Eric go. But do you find that that alternating work and rest periods throughout the day is helpful rather than having long stretches of work at once?
Yeah, I mean, do you, right? Everyone's different, but the research shows, and it does work for me, there's different, I think I go over 5 different ways you can break up the work. For me, it's the 20-20 rule. So every 20 minutes, when I can, take a strategic 1 minute break and actually physically move because motion creates emotion, which creates energy. And so it's every 20 minutes, take that break and you work better. Like your mind works better that way for most people. So I go over a couple of those different things. There's different techniques you can use, but that one works the best for me is to break it up that way when you can. And again, you guys are doing it as a group. So when it's not an external force, like a client, sometimes you can do some of the stuff together.
That's true.
It feels like when we were in the office, that was a little easier to do because we were communicating with each other and stopping by saying hi or playing ping pong. I think it's harder for us to make that happen at home. So that's something that I think we all need to like really pay attention to. Take that break, take that mental, physical break. I know it's difficult for me, but I think it's
I mean, that's a good point, Debbie. You're not alone. Like I was just with Safelite, if you're ever familiar with them, they replace the glasses that are on your car, like if you break your glass. And so a lot of that's a physical company when you think about it. So for them to go remote was quite crazy. And the concern immediately is, oh, no one's going to work. When actually for them is the exact opposite. People didn't have those barriers to cut off. So it was all the time. And so you're exactly right, is like breaking that stuff up as much as you can. But also know that your day is going to get disrupted. I talk about this 52-year-old CEO that I sat down with, and she goes, I woke up every morning hoping nothing bad would happen, that there wouldn't be any disruption, that I've got this day planned out, and this is the day that's going to happen. And she goes, I don't know, I took 52 years to realize that day has not happened one time. And so now I realize I've got to embrace that. But again, that's why I'll stress ad nauseum. Get that one thing, that 20-minute thing done before the world explodes on you, because it is going to disrupt your day. And so be patient too, because you'll block out like, this is my day. And then all of a sudden it gets thrown into chaos. And so just understand, hey, well, okay, don't get upset about that. Let's control what we control. Let me pause and figure out what fire I need to take care of and what I don't, and move from there.
That's great advice. Great advice. Thank you again. Thank you so much for joining us, Eric. Equal Man. And great to see you. And I look forward to being in touch with you soon. And everyone else, stay on. But Eric is going to leave us now as we move on to our group discussions.
Thanks, so, everyone.
Eric, bye.
Have a great one. So thanks again for listening to today's Super You podcast. Again, it's a podcast designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower. And if you want to pay it forward, make sure you go post a review for the Super You podcast, because what that will do, it'll allow others that aren't familiar with our podcast to discover it. And hopefully that allows them to unlock and unleash their inner superpower. So that's it for today's show. I'm your host, Equal Man, reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7 6 5 4 3 2 1
Super, super, super,
super, super you.